Let's look at number four on problem set 14.
Evaluate the limit as x approaches 3 of x squared plus 2x over x plus 2. First thing we want to try, can we plug in 3 for x? Yeah. Yes. So if we do that, we end up with 9 plus 6 on top, that's 15, over 3 plus 2. Our answer is 3. Great. Try number 5. Find the limit as x approaches 2 of x squared plus x minus 6 all over x minus 2. Can we plug in 2?
No.
No. Therefore, we try and factor. The top factor is to be? What? Yes. X minus 2 times x plus 3. Therefore, the x minus 2's cancel out. Then we can evaluate the limit by plugging a 2 in for x, and we get 5. Okay. Try number 6. The limit as x approaches a of x squared minus a squared, x squared minus a squared over x minus a. Can we plug in a in for x? No, because it'd be 0 on the bottom again. So we factor, we get x plus a, and what is our answer? 2a. Did you have a question? Yes, just wear the pass sign out. Number 7, can we plug in 0 in for x? No. Therefore, we'll see if we can simplify it by multiplying out all that junk there. So we get 4 plus 4x plus x squared minus 4 all over x. The 4's cancel out. We can factor out an x. Oops, why do I keep doing that? Once we factor out the x's cancel out. So if we plug in a 0 in for x, what do we get? 4, right? 18. Can you plug in a 0 in for x? If we did, it would be undefined, right? So we can't do that. So not 18, 8. So the limit as x approaches 0 of 1 over 2 plus x minus 1 over 2 all over x. Okay. So that doesn't work out. So what do we need to do here? Common denominator. Right, multiply top and bottom here by 2, top and bottom here by 2 plus x. And I end up with 2 minus 2 on top, minus x, over my common denominator of 2 times 2 plus x, all over x. Still can't evaluate the limit, right? Because it would still end up being undefined. But we can simplify this, right, by multiplying by the reciprocal. 1 over x. X's cancel out. Now can we evaluate? We can. Okay. And we'll get negative one over 2 times 2, which is 4. Okay. Yes?
So for like questions 3 and 4 of problem set 13, for work, do you want us to show you like drawing the angles?
No. You can just write down the answer.
Okay.
Any questions on those? Make sure you did 7 and 8. You will see that 7 and 8 from problem set 14 are taking the derivative. That is the definition of the derivative. And so that is the process that we will go through when we hit lesson 19, which is taking the derivative. What will be important then is understanding why it is what it is, right? Why does it look like this? The math part should not be a challenge. That's why they're giving us these problems ahead of time, so that by the time we get there, we can concentrate on that concept, not on the mechanics. And so make sure you can do 7 and 8. If you're not sure about those, try it on your own and make sure that you can get the correct answer. Okay, going back to your problem set 13, it's kind of a challenging problem set, huh? Are there any questions that anyone wants to look at? Yes?
10.
Okay. Yeah, I think they gave us this last year, didn't they? Number 10? This seems familiar to me. Use the sum formula for sine of a plus b to show all that stuff. All right. Well, if you don't have the sum formula for the sine function memorized, then you need to memorize it. That's sine of a plus b equals sine, cosine, cosine, sine, ab, ab, and this is plus. So if we need to figure out what sine of x plus delta x is, do you see how we would just plug in an x for a and delta x in for b? So it'd be sine, cosine, cosine, sine. Instead of a, I put an x. Instead of b, I plug in delta x. And I put a plus in the middle of there. Okay. Now we can start working. It says they want us to show that whatever we have on the left equals what we have on the right. So let's plug in our stuff on the left. Sine of x plus delta x is going to be this. I'll just write this out. Sine x, cosine delta x, plus cosine x, sine delta x, minus sine of x, all over delta x. Okay, so that's where we're left off when we plug in the stuff. But it doesn't seem like we can do anything, but the thing is that they're not really asking us to do very much, right? They're asking you to factor a sine x out of two terms and then factor a cosine x out of the other term. Do you see how that would work here? There are two sine x's right here, and so if I factored them out, factored a sine x out of both those, I'd be left with cosine delta x minus 1 over delta x. In the other term here in the middle, if I factored out the cosine x, I'd be left with sine delta x over delta x. So it's not like we did anything that special. And it's not like we should know how to do something like this, like or how to put something in that form. It's just that they happened to ask us to do something a little weird because it didn't really simplify anything for us. But yeah, why not? Yeah, I guess we could talk about that right now. If I was to go through here, yeah, one I like. Two, I don't mind. Probably not because we had one like that on our last test. Definitely one of three or four. Definitely one of five, six, or seven. If I had to choose one out of five, six, or seven, you could probably figure out which one I would choose. Maybe one out of eight or nine. Probably one out of 10, 11, or 12. I would definitely ask 13 and 14. I would probably ask 15. We'll talk about that in a second. 16 I like. 17, maybe. It's kind of easy. 18, I would definitely ask. 19, maybe. The others, I don't know. Probably not, which is why I chose to replace those from this problem set. But I am going to commit if we take a test on Friday, which I'm not 100% sure that we're going to do because I want to see how much our class is disrupted on Thursday by the pictures. I don't know. Maybe I should be more decisive than that because that's only one day notice. So I would prepare to take a test on Friday. And I think I'll say right now that I'll limit myself to 12 or 13. The problems will come from one of these two problem sets. There is a potential that we will not take a test on Friday, depending on what happens on Thursday. But we'll see. Right now, I would just write it down. We'll have a test on Friday. Okay. Should we look at 15, or are there others that you want to look at first? Number one, okay. The strength of a beam with a rectangular cross-section varies jointly with the square of the depth of its cross-section and with the width of its cross-section. If the strength is 40 when the width is P and the depth is M, what is the strength when the width is A and the depth is 3? So it's kind of hard to understand what's going on. Luckily, they drew it for us, and they showed us depth and width. And they said that it varies jointly. When something varies jointly, it varies directly with more than one thing. So it says the strength varies jointly with the square of the depth and with the width. And so what I would do, this is probably the most important part, is writing down S equals K d squared w. Does that make sense? Because it varies directly. That's why there's nothing in the denominator. They said the square of the depth. That's why I wrote d squared and with the width. So s equals k d squared w. Now that they told us this, we can probably assume that they're going to just plug in some values. The strength is 40 when the width is p. So I'll plug in 40 in for s, p in for w, and the depth is m. So we would plug in an m for d, and we'd have m squared. Do you see how we could solve for k then? K equals 40 over m squared p. Now that we found that, what is the strength when the width is a and the depth is 3? Well, if I'm going to solve for the strength, k, I found, it's 40 over m squared p. They wanted the depth to be 3, so 3 squared is 9. And they wanted the width to be a. And so I'll plug in an a in for the width. And so we just get 360 a over m squared p for the strength. So let's look at 15. It says, use a graphing calculator to graph y equals root 9 minus x squared. So try doing that. So then it says to graph this using the z decimal option. So first we'll input it. Square root of 9 minus x squared. Okay, and I choose zoom 4 for z decimal. Okay. And what do you see when you graph it? What? Half of a circle. And that's what it says in part B. It says, if we square both sides of the equation, we get y squared equals 9 minus x squared, which if you rewrote that, wouldn't that be x squared plus y squared equals 9? That's a circle with a radius of 3. How come we only have the top half when we graphed it? Yeah. When you take the square root, right, when you rewrite that x squared plus y squared equals 9, we would get plus or minus, right? Y equals plus or minus 9 minus x squared. We only graphed the plus, right, the positive one. So then they ask you, then how would we graph a complete circle if we had to on the calculator? But, I mean, do you see why we can't just graph a circle? Because we can't plug in x squared plus y squared equals 9, right? We have to express our functions in terms of x. In order to express this in terms of x, this becomes two separate functions. Does that make sense? Because the calculator graphs functions. A circle is not a function. So, oops, I don't have the minus there, but you'd graph both the positive and the negative. So you can try that. Let me just show you a shortcut. I don't know how useful this is, but I don't know. Maybe there's a cut and paste on the calculator. I can't find it on mine. If I wanted to just tell the calculator, well, graph whatever you graph for y1 but negative, first put a negative in front, and then what do you hit? I guess try hitting math. No, that's not it. Okay, sorry. Go back to that screen. You hit the negative, then you hit varse. Varse is between program and clear. After you hit varse, you hit the right arrow to choose y varse. Then you hit option 1 for function. And then you choose option 1 because it's y1. And that essentially plugs in, it pastes in the y1 for you. I don't know if that was worth the time, right? Because it would have probably taken that longer, less time to actually plug that in. But you could do that. And so once you've done that, then you could hit trace, and then you'd see the full circle. Yes? Yes. Just sign out to where the pass. No, because, see, you have to have... you just have to have just the function.